Welcome to Canoe. I'm Junior.
And I'm Jordan. We're two pastors, but don't worry, we're not going to preach.
Nah, we think the best conversations happen on a canoe.
Especially ours.
So whether you're on a run, in the kitchen, or on your commute, grab a paddle, hop in the canoe. Let's navigate a river together. Get your fix with season six.
Two dudes in a canoe. We're back.
It's right.
Man, it's been a lonely summer without the canoe.
It has been.
I've just been bored.
No, you haven't. You've been golfing like a dork.
Okay. Speaking of dork. So, Junior, let's just talk about how I inspired you to find a hobby of your own. Golf wasn't your thing. You tried it.
It's terrible. I honestly don't understand how people golf. You invited me out the other night. And it was like, all right, pay $20, get dressed up, and walk through a park. I can walk through a park in my pajamas for free. Why am I going to pay $20 to get dressed up to walk through a park?
You're playing a game.
And then I showed up to go golfing with you. The parking lot was jam-packed. I went to the parking lot four times. I was like, screw this. I went back home, went to bed.
What kind of friend says, hey, yeah, I'll meet you there? And then the parking lot's full, so it's like, I'm not coming, and just leaves. Who does that?
What did you want me to do? I wasn't going to like circle for a fifth time. I was like,
just wait.
Yeah, I went back. I went home, went to bed. Don't regret it.
That was unbelievable. I was like, are you kidding me?
I knew you'd be upset
about
it too.
I'm still out. I'm glad
I texted you and yeah, I didn't hear back. I was like, yeah, he's upset. But
yeah,
I'm
you told me you're coming.
I'm going to bed. I did. I just wasn't going to circle again.
So I inspired your new little hobby of, what do you guys call
it? It's not a little hobby.
Already, you're
belittling it. It is, I fat tire bike. It is a great hobby. I was up this morning at 5 a.m. biking.
Don't call it fat tire bike to make it sound cool. You're a bicyclist.
Wait, how does fat tire make it sound cool?
You're just trying to make it sound like you're trying to make it sound like you souped up your bike.
A dead with fat tires.
Junior wears one of those leotards now, and he's the one that he drives in front of the cars, and you got to go 20 miles an hour.
No, I go on the trails around the Des Plaines River in the morning as the sun is rising. It's beautiful. I had a coyote puppy running next to me for a little while the other day. I almost hit a deer.
Dude, that's one of my favorite new things. Junior will come from his morning bike and be like, Jordan, I had these geese just fly right alongside of me. I had this little coyote
it's
pup.
Awesome.
I'm like, what are you, freaking Snow White?
Yeah.
he's just, right when he comes to the trails, they're like, he's here.
He's here. He's here. Okay. Other than golf, what else you been doing?
I have had quite the fun summer, if I say so myself. My wife and I are trying to have our third kid.
Dang.
No luck yet. But depends on how you define luck, because I have had quite the luck, if you ask me. The first two kids, we got pregnant within like the very first time we tried. We were pregnant the next couple weeks.
I'm like, really?
This one's been a little longer. Not mad about it.
So that's been our summer.
Hey.
We'll celebrate.
Yeah.
One of these days we'll announce when it happens.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Middle name, canoe.
Yeah. We'll see. Now if we don't, now everyone's going to know about our fertility problems. Well, Junior, as I've been trying to make a baby, what have you been doing?
I wrote a book this summer called The Manual. Practical Guide to Manhood.
When's it out?
I don't know. Still trying to figure that out. Maybe in the next month or so. But just finished the very back of the book. Do you want to hear the write-up?
Yeah. What's it about?
It's about manhood. And it's not just for men. It says, if you are a man, raising a man, dating a man, married to a man, or wanting a man, there are weird waters to navigate today. Many have all but lost the definition of what real manhood is. Let's strip away the archetype, overly masculine sales pitches, and politically correct definitions. Let's discover the raw core of manhood. Let's reclaim an integral thread to society, and let's do so in such a way that exposes toxic manhood for what it is, not manhood. Welcome to A Manual on Manhood. You'll find power in the simplicity.
Dang. Dude, I'm stoked for you, man. I have got to read bits and pieces of it. Phenomenal. Best book you've written.
The bits and pieces.
No, I'm stoked for you. I think it's going to be, if you are a guy, know a guy, have a guy.
Dating a guy. Or want a guy.
This is it. This is for you.
Yeah. Basically, it's for everybody except for feminists who don't love men.
They need to have that all the more.
So I've been writing and riding. Jordan's been playing golf.
Making pars and making babies. But also, we've been dreaming up season six.
That's right.
and we have some fun stuff in store. There are things that we are worse off because we do not have anymore. And that is what this segment is all about.
That's right.
Where'd it go? You want to know? I want to know where it went.
What?
The back of the cereal box.
Oh, the best part of the morning.
Saturday morning. Getting some cartoons in front of you. Getting a little bowl of cereal. Yep. Some Fruity Pebbles.
Some Life cereal. And doing the maze. Doing the word search.
Life cereal.
Stretching your mind. What? Life cereal isn't good?
That was like the homeschool cereal.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's the one without sugar. Life cereal?
No, Life cereal is sugar. The cinnamon Life cereal was the best. The cinnamon one.
Dude, that's the stuff that my grandma made me eat whenever I had to go to her house. We had the Fruity Pebbles. Trix.
Okay. Sorry that you grew up so much better than I did, Jordan. I had the same dang game on the back of the cereal box.
No, your cereal box, you could probably had a Sudoku on it. My cereal box, I had cool mazes with cartoon characters.
Kids nowadays, what do?
Bring back the back of the cereal box. Bring back childhood.
Is people pleasing wrong?
No. I mean, not like totally, right?
Well, I don't know. See, there's an annoying new trend. I've been seeing like, okay, I don't know if you've noticed this. Maybe it's just on my own feeds, but it seems like there's a lot of more Instagram pop psychologists now that are just spreading just total BS all over Instagram. Hmm. But I've been seeing people like get on there, especially like young millennials. And they're like, oh, I'm such a people pleaser. And to be candid with you, it can often be a cloaked self-complimenting apology. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm such a people pleaser. It's like, oh, what a sacrificial martyr you are. Yeah. You know, it sounds so extremely virtuous and unselfish, but is it wrong?
Yeah, because there's some people that take that, you know, the whole like, ah, oh, you know what, I don't want to be a people pleaser. And so they just use that as an excuse to be a jerk to everyone in their life.
Oh, yeah, right, like, right.
That's also not great either.
And to be fair, Jordan, I want to be liked.
Yeah, I do too. At a certain level, it's natural.
So what is people pleasing? People pleasing is when other people's opinion of you matters more than doing what's right. Or if you're a Christian, it's other people's opinion of you matters more than God's opinion.
Yeah, it's where you're almost obsessed with yourself.
We were reading, if you go to the bridge and you do the Bible reading plan with us, we read just a couple months ago, actually, in Romans, where Paul writes that part of your identity in Christ, part of your process of sanctification, is caring more what God thinks than what other people think. Hmm. This is something that people pleasers simply can't do.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way, and I know this is politically incorrect, but people pleasing at its core is rooted in pride and an image-driven obsession. It's like the craving to be liked is this beast of wanting to feed your pride. The more people we please, the higher we place ourselves.
I agree that it's pride. I agree that it's self-obsession. But Junior, how do you know that you've crossed the line? Because like we talked about, we all want to be liked.
Yeah.
So when do you know you've crossed the line from just wanting to be liked to being a people pleaser?
All right. So let's talk about three symptoms. Three symptoms that show that you struggle with people pleasing. Number one, you lack courage to say hard things. You can't say the hard thing.
They don't want to have that needed conversation. They're just
they can't
sweep
confront.
It under the rug.
Yeah. Actually, you know what bothers me, and I've seen this with people, is they'll come to me and they'll be like, I'm so angry with so-and-so. They did this. I'm so angry. And they're like, they're just fired up. And then I'll be like, all right, let's have a conversation with them. Be tough on them. Be straightforward. Be honest with them about why you're fired up. You get into a meeting and they're just like, they don't say anything. They blame themselves. It's like, dude, what are you doing? You're people pleasing. You can't have a confrontation. People pleasers tend to muddy up the conversation because they can't be clear and kind and direct all at the same time.
And that's the key. Clear, direct, and kind all at the same
time. Yeah, that's hard to be.
Because if you met those people, that in order for them to have a hard conversation, they almost have to like make themselves mad. Like they have to turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And they got to be like, I can only do this when I'm angry. And so then when they come
across. Because they don't have courage. So they got to make themselves angry to get the courage.
So then when they finally come across the conversation, they handle it so poorly because they just decided to be mad instead of to be direct and kind.
So do you lack courage to say hard things? If you can never say something hard, that's a sign that you're people pleasing. I'm not, this is not, as you were saying earlier, this is not like, hey, go be a jerk and just say hard things to everybody. But if you can't say hard things directly and kindly, you have a problem. People pleasing. The second symptom is you overthink every interaction.
I feel like we all have those friends, or maybe we're married to those friends.
Or we are them.
Or we are those friends who just overthinks every circumstance,
Where it's,
they come across away from a conversation and they're like, how was my tone? What did I say? What did they mean by that? And you're constantly overanalyzing everything.
They call it like social anxiety sometimes.
Yeah. My wife, and my wife's really not that big of a people pleaser, but this is probably one of the areas where she can struggle with, because we'll, actually, we had a teach on like this marriage conference once, and we're supposed to be like a tag team thing. My wife says one sentence the whole time. And then after that whole, I've taught for like a good 30 minutes, and then afterwards, she's like, okay, whew. Hey, how did that one sentence sound? Like, what are you, your one sentence? I just taught for 30 minutes and you're worried about your one sentence? And it's a small, funny thing, but it is true. A lot of people have that mentality where you walk away and you're just examining everything. Yeah, why do you care?
Yeah. Well, I used to be guilty of this until a non-people-pleasing buddy of mine told me that overthinking interactions can actually be a characteristic of a narcissist. I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, most people leave a conversation, rarely give it a second thought. But those who like make everything about them, they have to analyze that conversation to ensure that they looked as good as they wanted to have looked in that conversation. I used to be so guilty, and I can still find myself being guilty of this.
Are you calling my wife a narcissist?
I'm absolutely not.
Oh, my word. Lindsay, you're not. You're beautiful.
No, I wasn't the one who shared that story. I was saying I'm guilty of it.
I know. He told me not to. But it's the truth. I think there's a little bit of narcissist in all of us, and we want to look good. And so we walk away from interactions. We all do it. And we're like, oh, whatever. But honestly, again, it just shows that you care way more about people think. And now the advice I usually tell my wife is, I guarantee no one's thinking about it.
Sure.
No one's thinking that you did this or didn't say that or didn't do that. And on all those things, we overthink those things.
Now I want to call her at the end of every week and just be like, don't listen to them. We're all thinking it.
You're the worst.
Number three, the third symptom is being unliked is a nightmare. Now, to be fair, none of us like being unliked.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah.
But to the people pleasers, it sucks on another level. Oh, yeah. Like, you can't sleep.
Yep.
Some people, I've known people who can't eat who because of it. Like, they get so worked up, their anxiety spikes because, someone doesn't like you.
Yeah. And they'll exhaust themselves to change the other person's mind. See, because being disliked is humbling. Something a people pleaser just isn't accustomed to. So, do you have any of those symptoms? I guarantee you do. We're going to get into how to kill that people pleaser in just a little bit. But first off, we've got
K-News.
Hey, we didn't get rusty at all this summer.
No, that was good pipes. Junior, remember Ocean Gate?
Yeah, that happened this summer.
Yeah, with the submarine that imploded going down the Titanic.
Yeah.
They used like the Xbox controller to steer it all.
Off-brand Xbox controller.
Off-brand. They can't even afford the real one.
Yeah, right.
So there's new reports about the co-founder, because the founder died. So now the co-founder steps up. Guess what he's planning?
What's he doing?
The co-founder of Ocean Gate is planning to build a colony on Venus.
Wait, what?
He's planning to build a colony on Venus.
Hold on. Who's going to go with this guy?
Well, is Venus inhabitable?
Okay, hold on. I'm just looking up the temperature. No. Okay, well, look at this. The surface temperature on Venus is 847 degrees Fahrenheit.
You just found that out with a quick Google search. Yeah. This poor guy, like, what's this guy doing?
He hasn't even been to Mars.
He hasn't even been to the Titanic. Too far. But come on. Who's going to go with this guy?
Oh, poor guy.
There's your news. Stay away from Ocean Gate.
Don't go to Venus. All right, so you've identified maybe even just this little, but a little people-pleasing tendency in you. How do you kill that? How do you keep that unhealthy people pleaser in you at bay?
Three ways to kill the people pleaser in you. Number one, you got to ignore all the pop psychology.
Yes.
And you have to see the issue for what it is. It's a pride issue.
It is.
You just care too much about yourself and how you're viewed. And the pop, you got to be careful because pop psychology is going to come out and they're going to tell you, well, you're just nice.
Yeah.
You're overly nice.
You're too good of a person.
Yeah, you're too good of a person. And so a lot of it, the pop psychology, the answer is you just got to love yourself more. And if you love yourself more, you're going to care less about what other people think because you just love yourself more.
What a load of bull excrement.
It's just crap. Because the reality is the more that you love yourself, the more that you think other people have to love you too.
Right.
And think that you're the center of attention. And then when that doesn't happen, you just get more pissed and more hurt. And it's this downward spiral.
Yeah. It's crazy to me how much pop psychology, how their treatment is always just got to love yourself more. It's almost like anytime
it's their
scientists
answer,
run into a problem about explaining something in the universe, they just kind of tack on a few more million years.
Yeah.
It's almost like they do that in like pop psychology. It's like, oh, what do we do here? Spacing this problem, mental
problem. I'm scared.
Problem.
I'm anxious. I'm upset.
You got to love yourself more. That's like the silver bullet to killing any sort of mental health issue. The problem is that just kills your mental health even more.
Yeah. Number two, you got to focus on what's right, not what's most clapped for.
I think of the old prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He wrote, "You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." I love that. Such a BA thing for a prophet to say. In other words, what he's saying is you didn't do what you knew was right because you wanted the splendor. You wanted people to be pleased, and so you didn't do what was right. And I wonder how often we do that. Maybe even leading at work or just parenting, doing marriage. It's like you're not doing what's right because you want to be liked.
That's something just being on church. Being on staff at a church, we've dealt with that where we've sat in an office and we've had to deal with, hey, we know that we're going to talk about this, or we know we have to talk to that person about this, and we're going to get some flack.
It's going to blow up.
But at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do for that person and for the kingdom of God. That's what we got to do.
Then the third way to kill that people pleaser in you, or at least hold it at a healthy bay, and that is please the right one. It goes back to what I was talking about with Romans when Paul wrote, a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So the way to kill people pleasing is to focus on pleasing the divine, not the humans. Because here's the key. You'll please far more people if you simply focus on pleasing the right one. It's kind of like the manager, you know, at work who... This is like the classic story. In fact, I bet I'm sure anybody listening right now has a manager, or they've seen this happen, or they've been tempted to do this, but the manager will get a new directive from corporate. Hey, this has to happen. And they'll go to corporate and they'll be like, oh yeah, you got it. You can count on our team. We got it. We're good. And then they'll go to the team and be like, hey, listen, I know this sucks. My hands are tied here. I wouldn't have chosen this, but like, we got to do this. Corporate sucks. And what's manager trying to do? Please corporate. Hey, yeah, we're going to champion. Awesome. Yeah. Then go to the team and be like, hey, sorry, my hands are tied. Corporate sucks. Don't blame it. Don't blame it on me. People exhaust themselves people pleasing. And I think we would do well to just keep it simple. Please the right person. Do what's right. Not what's most clapped for. And at the end of the day, you're going to be able to head home with your head held high because you have self-respect because you did what was right.
But it's still really hard though.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just go, and it is true, because I don't want people to think, if I do the right thing, all of a sudden all the anxiety and all the fear, and I just feel way better at when my head hits the pillow. The reality is doing the right thing and having the hard conversation, it sucks sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I think of conversations I've had years ago, where I'm like, I know I needed to have that conversation, and I went home, and I still wrestled with it, and I still struggled with it, because it was a hard convo.
And you knew they were upset.
And I knew they were upset, but... My head hit the pillow and I was still restless, but it would have been more restless if I never had that conversation. It would have just been worse for that person.
So to wrap it all up, not being a people pleaser sucks, but it doesn't suck as much as being a people pleaser.
That's a good way to wrap it up.
Welcome to People Pleasing River.
What a fun ride. Either way, it sucks.
You know, something that we did, Jordan, this summer was we tested out a new restaurant before it opened. We were invited by the owner to go test it out.
Yep. And he said, Jordan and Junior, you guys are, you have two of the best palates I know.
That's right. The Evie down on Michigan Avenue.
Gotta go check it out.
Yeah, it was awesome. What do we have? Like, probably had like a $400 dinner.
It was some of the best food I've ever had.
Amazing. It was incredible.
Sushi, yeah. Lobster rolls, yeah. Steaks,
and it was like
chicken.
All on the house. I don't know how we got that perk. It was one of the highlights of my summer for sure.
It was really cool.
But one thing I hated was like, you know, we had to dress up. I don't dress up very well, so I don't like golfing. So, you know, I got dressed up, sit down, and people put their napkin in their lap. I feel like I had to do that. I felt like I was people pleasing in the moment. I was like, well, everybody else is putting their napkin
in
their lap.
It is one of my pet peeves. I've never sat through an entire dinner with the napkin still on my lap. Somehow it always falls to the ground. Yeah. Why do you do it? Why do we
even
have to put
the napkin
on there?
Stays in your lap? I've never had a napkin catch anything. If I ever spill, it's on my chest.
Yeah.
Not on my lap.
Why do we have to? You know what? Why do we do it? Because we're people pleasers.
Because we're people pleasing.
I'm ripping that napkin right off, dang it.
Next time you put a napkin in your lap, you just know you're guilty of people pleasing.
Yeah.
You people pleaser.
But also, if we have to give the Evie a stars, 5 stars.
5 stars.
Minus the napkins.
Jordan, before we end the first river, I've got a scenario that I need you to settle, okay? It's like a philosophy, maybe like a moral question, okay?
Ooh, I love ethical.
You're driving. There's an old man in one lane standing right in the middle of the road.
Okay.
And a boy, little boy, playing in the road, standing in the road as well.
Easy, I
hit
the old man.
Hit the old man?
I don't even know what you're going to say. I'm going to chuck him.
Yeah?
Yeah, you got the little boy his whole life to live.
You want to know what I'd hit?
What?
The brakes. And I'd save both of their lives.
Dang it. I'm a terrible person.
Hey, fun start to season 6. Excited for all the rivers that we got coming up. Glad you hung with us. Hung? Hanged? What is it?
I'm just still thinking about how I killed that poor old man.
Hey, don't forget to share. For real. Like, I love all the reviews that we got. We have a lot of reviews on our podcast, which are awesome. Those are fantastic. But the shares, they go a long way. So please share this river, and we'll see you on the next one. Don't listen to him. We're all thinking it.
You're the worst.